Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son bitches, get out, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in this war with you, Sean Quali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. And as always, it is an honor, a privilege, and we count it a joy to be talking to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. And we have a beautiful treat for you all tonight. There's a beautiful treat for you all tonight. We want you to play close attention to our brother. Close attention to our brother. We have on the line with us tonight. He's going to go right into it. He's not going to waste any time. On the line with us tonight, the Supreme Captain of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We want you, wherever you are, to bring this brother on with a round of applause and a mighty black power. We want to hear right now at the top of the hour as he talks on the subject of we don't die, we multiply. He talks to you about his experience with the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and his experiences now as Supreme Captain of the New Black Panther Party. Prepare to be taught right now for our dear brother and friend and soldier and comrade. Here he is, the Supreme Captain, our dear brother, Brother Hakeem Muhammad. Black Power, sir.
The Black Power, Brother Sean Quali, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely, absolutely fantastic, my dear brother. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Supreme, for taking out of your busy schedule to join with us. And so from here on out, my dear brother, it's your show now. So you go ahead and talk to your people and your soldiers, Black Power.
Black Power, sir. Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. God damn it, Black Power. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I also bear witness that Muhammad the first and the last is truly indeed Allah's messengers. I would like to open it first by teaching on our leader, our teacher and our guide, who is really a man of God, a messenger of God. I'm talking about none other than Brother, Doctor, and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Never does Allah destroy a race of people until he struck one among the people. So the people will say he's us. He's a stranger. We don't understand him. Never did Allah deal with a race of people until he sent his messenger, and his messenger taught the people. Who is Malik Zulu Shabazz, doctor and attorney? Well, first of all, he's my brother. He's a strong, positive role model. With less than 4 years, we're going into the 21st century. We're in need of a deliverer. We definitely are suffering. We are people that are duped from the lack of knowledge. Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz is a brother like unto any brother that we've ever seen. We were taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that Islam is a religion that will teach you that you can hug your brother in broad daylight and it won't be anything punkified, pacified, or sissified about the love that your brother has for you. Just recently, we had our detention summit in Atlanta. my brother sent for me. And without question, I wrote out, the Holy Quran say to hear is to obey. So my brother told me to post up. I got there. My brother said, well, brother, if you're tired, you know, brother, it's coming in the evening time. I said, brother Kings, I'm here. Let's roll. I got suited and booted. We got together, brother, and we took it on. It's one thing about the new Black Panther Party that brother Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad say, we like baby kids. We don't die. We multiply. It's what he would exclaim. Now, let's go back and see why the Honorable Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is the man he is. This brother comes to Dallas, Texas, the headquarters. This is our territory where we started kicking this thing. Well, among other few brothers who have gone, but we're going to pray that they be strong and they be back with us in a very short distance. It's a lot of love, Father Brother. Brother Collins showed me something. That was an assassination attempt put on my brother. And the conspiracy came from within inside a movement. So when I seen what happened and my brother was coming, I swung into action again. I said, oh, Lord, this is not good. I said, the only thing I love, you can't be taken from me. And I was, remember reading the cross and said, surely my life, my prayer, my death, and my sacrifice is to Almighty God Allah. And surely Allah Ta'ala wa Ta'ala speaks the truth when he revealed it to the Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over 1,400 years ago. When Brother Khalid came here to Dallas, we moved him. I was crying. I had my God, and I had my hand on my God because I wasn't going to allow anything to happen to my brother. I mean, my brother, he wouldn't take no white man's medicine. He was sick. And the thing about it, he's a black power general. When he was barking on, even the days of his pain and suffering, and he was on. Everywhere I rode, my brother, you know, there was some old sisters and brothers that was with us. So we let them know, hey, we sitting examples. We role models. And today, it's the same goddamn way. As your supreme captain of the new Black Panther Party, there will be no fraud perpetrated among the rank. And if I get anybody, I don't give a goddamn who your mama and your daddy is. If you come up against the new Black Panther Party and you die, you give your soul to God because your ass belongs to the supreme captain of the new Black Panther Party. I said that. I meant that. I stand upon that because I'm about this. All praises are due to Allah. We got to give all praises due to Allah because if it wouldn't be for brothers like Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, this brother is a master student up under the Black Power General. That brother came here to Dallas, and we was at the Union Black Academy, the Arts and Letters. Brother Khaled was hopping in. Hashim Nasinger and myself and other soldiers, we brought our brother in. When we sit him down, another tall brother walked up, greeted my brother, and Brother Khaled told him to take it off. I looked at the brother, I said, hey, what's up? Dr. Khalid Muhammad said, come in. I moved out again. And when Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz looked back, I was covering him. And ever since then, it's been that way. I've never met nobody who loved the people so much as our brother, that he's a strong black man. The brother's a positive role model. I heard the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach us in the theology of time. He said he was speaking about Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said, today we have on the stage with us one of our greatest ministers. He said, our brother's out there doing the work that I can't do. He said, he's a real minister. When you see him, you look at him. When you hear him, you listen to him. And where he tell you to go, you go. And where he tell you to stay away from, stay away. And it's pondered in my mind. I constantly heard these things. And then when Brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General, he told me, he said, brother, he said, you need to get out there and put the word out, brother. He said, but for now, you are my eyes and my ears. He said, I want you to see and I want you to hear, but don't talk. He said, I do the talking, brother. You just got to bag me up. So I said, okay, cool. So one day, he said, say, brother, he said, you know they got a death threat on me. I said, hey, that happens all the time, but this is what you do. He said, yeah, but anyway, he said, you go down to the San Marcos and you tell them I'm coming. I looked at the brother and said, say what? He said, brother, you still here? I said, here is to obey. About this time,
Minister Lanny X, roll up. Another brother roll up. Brother give me a brand new Lexus. Another brother strapped me, and I rolled out. When I got to San Marcos, I went did what my brother say. Jim Pecker Woods looked at me and said, nigga, you crazy. I could look at the expression, but when they seen that I was not buzzing or grinning, and I was serious in my words, my thoughts the way I had seen Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and listened to Brother Khaled, and I seen our Brother Khaled, it was right on point, right on time, it just come out of me. What do you want us to do? I said, just stand down and stand out of the way because I'm putting you on alert. When I looked up, here come Hashim Nasir, the new Black Panther Party, and Brother Khaled rolled into action. The people had picket signs. They were hollering, singing, death to Muhammad, kill Muhammad. Brother Khaled got out of the car, and he told me, he said, okay, this is how they want to do it, no problem. He said, go back out there and tell them, I said, let them people in, free all of them. So about this time, I looked at the bus and said, man, this brother, he's got to know what he's doing or he's crazy. And I said, I don't see nothing wrong with being crazy about this brother because I have never seen him make no mistakes, and he was always perfect in his action and his thought. See, me and Brother Khaled Abdul Muhammad, we come from Muhammad Mosque number 27 in Los Angeles, up on the former Captain Rashid. Captain Rashid set an example for us, brother, and at the same time, we had the Supreme Captain Raymond Sharif up under the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These brothers didn't play. Our captain one time got a call. The alarm went out. They say, they're rolling in on your supermarket number 27. The pigs are coming. By this time, I was Supreme Captain. He sounded the order from Chicago, and Captain Rashid, he hit it out to us. When he screamed that thing to us, brother, we rolled out. By this time, he was coming up, and the police were coming at the same time. Our captain, he jumped out of his car. When he jumped out of his car, he said, I want two on this one on that one, three on this one. We lined up the FOI, and we turned around. When we stood up against the L.A. Police Department, we were from the Gordonville Supermarket number 27, which was a Muslim brother shop where our families could eat good, wholesome food. He backed them down. We flexed the muscle, and I seen in this brother something I had never seen before, that God is alive. And I'm not talking about no pacifier, punkifier, homogenized God. I'm talking a Black revolutionary Messiah God that was, is, and always shall be into existence until this very day and until the signs of the time. Have I ever seen such a man? And then I looked and seen Brother Khaled. At that time, he was going into the student minister program, and I was into the security. Here we come again. We in prison. He's in Atlanta. I'm in Texas. We done got out. We got it on. He rolling. So now, in this day and time, brother, the new Black Panther Party is not playing no game because we have no goddamn shame. And anybody, if you see me, you talk to me. I love our people because constantly I'm in the streets on a daily basis with the fire. I'm out there shaking the hands and greeting people in the name of the new Black Panther Party and teaching them about attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. We shouldn't die. We should multiply. Never should a brother be a Black Panther. A new Black Panther Party member should always be a brother who's always in character. The other night we was on a show, and we had some who's your so-called Negro. He's going to insult the present status quo of the new Black Panther Party by being contradictory and being controversial. We swung into action on him again, and we got him. And when we got him, we let him know, together, the new Black Panther Party stand. Divided, we'll follow him. We're not going to be divided. There's no division here. Each one to teach one. If you teach a man, you teach an individual. And when you teach a woman, you teach a whole village. So everybody needs to learn that we're going somewhere. And if you're not going, then you need to move over, move out of the way. Because the new Black Panther Party is not for the people who don't care, who don't want change. In order for you to change the people, you must first bring about a change within yourself. When you bring about a change within yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you. Here, in these days and time, we see that the present status quo, which is the United States government, is not supporting us, so we have to go after the government and teach them their job, because they don't understand us, they don't know us. Here, we Black people wear lotion in the wintertime because we get ashy, and in the summertime, they put lotion because they're out there at the ocean, because they are trying to get it on and get their tan. But see, this is just something natural for us. The leaders are not made. They are born. And never have I ever met a brother in the new Black Panther Party that did not have the qualities of being a leader. If you're looking at attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and you listen to our brother like the National Assistant, Brother Sean Kwali, these brothers are doing the work. So everybody put in a little work. But it's the youngsters today what we need.
We have to reach out for our youth. When I was there about less than 1 year ago, I was sitting and talking to Wes Carter, to the head of state. Tommy Hill, then Vice President John Mahama, I was responding to elaborate upon the new Black Panther Party. But at this time, another brother was introduced to me, Dr. Amir Wabi Mahab Adam. He's of the Ahmadiyya persuasion. This brother has been very supportive in my educational at the University of Lagos, where I got two master's degrees, one in theology and the other one in philosophy. And they were trying to figure it out. They say, well, you say that you're from Louis Farrakhan's people, but here you are missionaries. Now I'm a mercenary. Either way you go, you have to be versatile in your role, not just to be all talk, but to be a model to the people to look upon. Let me share a little something with you, brothers, in case you really don't believe in what I'm saying. I'm going to show you that if you believe who you are and you're part of the new Black Panther Party, you will remain strong and unshakable. My wife is named Layla Mumin Muhammad. She gave me a call the other day and told me to hold the line. It was the Hafiz of the Ahmadiyya. Let me tell you what the Hafiz is. The Hafiz is a brother who recites the Quran from front to back without stagnation in no time in his speech, whether it's the Arabic or the English or the local language. Hafiz said to me, he said, brother, he said, we understand that you're there in America. I said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Hakeem, Sheikh, listen to me. He said, we understand that you're doing something with your people and that your people are on the rise and on the move. I said, Brother Hafiz, it's true. He said, well, brother, this is the deal. In 2 weeks' time, I'll return back to Ghana, West Africa. He said, your father, the Amir of the Ahmadiyya, is telling me that you're trying to contact him. He said, I'm the head missionary in the United States for the Ahmadiyya. He said, you come here to Ghana, and you did well. He said, people talk about you all over the African continent. I entertain and ascertain the thought of Muammar Gaddafi's wife because he become the head of state, and they done well by me in the north. Omar al-Bashir in the east, very good brother, who was Sheikh Mustafa Kuku from the Sudan, who's at the University of California, Riverside, who stuck by my side while I was going through my study to become a sheikh to educate me to go into Africa. Also, it was Jacob Zuma in the south. His son was born at the same time my son was born. And these people, they were very good people to me. And they told me, brother, tell your people in America, we love you. We beg you. We care about you. And the main thing for you people to stay strong is to stay black and keep going. Don't let the present status quo of the government disrupt your people. It was Brother 2X a few moments ago was talking about snitches and how we got people wanting to perpetrate fraud and come among the ranks and pretend to be and to say things. No, 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 no. As your Supreme Chaplain, we won't allow this because any time you come against the present status quo in which we speak, we will lean on you. And I'm known for leaning on you because if one of the death angels from the zebra killer, my reputation is justified. I take the horses, and I don't give a goddamn about no goddamn white man or no other man who comes up against us when we're making our move. Everybody needs to get up, get into it, and get involved. If you don't know what you're doing, then get with a brother who do know. That's Dr. Derek Malik Zulu Shabar. Brother Sean Guali the other night was talking to this rougher bait, and this man went against the 10-point program, the 9-point platform. And then when Brother Sean got on him, he said, well, oh, I don't remember that. That's what we need today, strong leadership, not no pacified and pompified and marginalized leader. We need to bag our leader. If you can't bag the leader, then get out. Get out the way and let somebody come in. I got a son right now. Like I was telling him, he's only 1 year old. He got the dialogue that he can understand four or five different languages because over there the dialogue changed. And I was talking to him, and I said, what's wrong with you? And he turned and said, I told my wife, is he telling not to be a mongoloid? She said, no, you always watching them Khalid Muhammad. Now all he know is Tucklewood. It's him. And she said, and over here, he's always fighting because the girls want to kiss him. I don't let him do it because he's a man. And that's what he's saying. That's why he fights, because it's in my genes. And what's in my genes comes from people like Dr. Trudy Malik Zulu Shabar, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, puts love in my heart for this brother. And any time I see something going wrong, say, I'm going to cover down with my brother. And when I bark an order, it's your supreme captain. I expect for it to be respected. But if you don't do what you're supposed to, then I'll lean on you. Because if I don't lean on you, Brother Miley, you're going to lean on me. So I'm not going to get in trouble for not doing my job. But everybody will do the work. The supreme chaplain's word is law. Let me say this again. The supreme chaplain's
Word is law. You learn to respect it or else. Now, I'm not a gun old brother why I'm too old. Why I can't drink a glass of water and it come out. No, but like Brother Collin, seasoned fruit. A brother has to know how to be a diplomat in his thinking, his action, his character, and his conduct. So when I issue out, all supreme instructions will be enforced. All supreme general orders will enforce. I say the first general order to take control of this property, our property of you. Don't allow nobody to commit a nuisance on your property. I'm shooting these bullets to you. I'm your quarterback. Like Brother Collins, we were quarterback. Like our captain, Shahid, up on the West Coast. Like Captain Rashid, he was a quarterback. So we soldiers, brothers, we condition our bodies, we condition our mind, and if you think I'm lying, I'm dying. But God damn it, I'm 55 years old. I don't have no blood pressure. I don't have no diabetes. I ain't got no lumbago. All I got is a goddamn attitude against the goddamn white man. See, that stand up on them about this. Now, I want everybody to know, if you stand, hey, let's go. Let's go do the damn thing. It's nothing to stop anybody from doing his work. Hey, the sky is the limit, and we're going. We want to run this damn devil off the goddamn planet. I've heard Brother Collins say it before, and I believe it, because if you look 1 month ago at the headquarters in Dallas, Texas, of the Ku Klux Klan, they had it that they were coming to their headquarters to recruit. Now, you know, I've heard of a whole bunch of things that people stupid do. Maybe they all crack or something. But evidently, they didn't know that the Southern Regional Minister of Defense had just returned from West Africa. And now it's this time, things are getting greater later. So I like to advise everybody, let you know that we pumped the clean out. We pumped the clean out. We ran them out of town by sundown. We got out together with every other black organization in the city. Sister Claudia Flower from the NAACP confronted the JDL. When we confronted the JDL, they told us to don't get all twisted. Don't get all panties in them twice. I said, who do you think you're talking to? Don't you know who this is? The Southern Regional Minister of Defense. You're saying that you're coming to my city and you're talking about having a rally in the black neighborhood. We sounded the alarm. As we say, leaders are not born there. I mean, they're not made, but they're born leaders. When we swung into action, Brother Drew X, myself, and other colleagues, we came together, put God as our leader, took in the leadership of the Black Power Journey General, and our teacher, Mali Zulu Shabazz, say, take it, brother. We want to know what's going on. Sean Kwali and everybody in the National, King Samir, we worked on it. Brother, don't you know that they were scheduled to march on Saturday, and that night of Friday, the brothers were in the streets. Brother Zulu with the canine patrol. I mean, he got some superpowers, brother. I don't know what he feed these big dogs. They look like some giant horses. Brothers in the streets, the sisters, bats. So, you know, I'm seeing the spirit of African attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz alive, the way Brother Collins had gave it to him. Dr. Collins taught our brother well. I was with Brother Collins when he first came here, and I'm still here. So now we see that way back when we went to Greenville, when they were burning the churches, they didn't burn any more churches. We got nationwide coverage. When we hit again, we did San Marcos when they had death threat on Dr. Collins. He went in, he talked, and one day I tried to reach over him and hit a peck of wood at the nose. He turned around and said, brother, I appreciate what you do and I love what you do, but I don't need you to do this. He said, I can fight my own battle. And I love our people, and nobody should ever disrespect the present status quo in which we speak. Everybody should be right on time to do their job. So if everybody's doing their job, we won't have any problems. There will be no fraud perpetrated among the ranks. So everybody must do the goddamn thing correctly. If you don't do the goddamn job, then move over, goddamn, because there are some soldiers that are coming through. Damn it, I'll put a goddamn beret on my son, and do a whole lot better job than the goddamn white man to do it because he's a sissy. He's a punk. And I have no love and no respect for this goddamn white man and no other man who comes up against the present status quo of the new Black Panther Party. Black Power, Brother Sean, you still with me?
Yes, sir. Still with you, bro. Keep rolling.
Okay. I'll praise you to Allah. Just moving right along. So everybody who hears the word of the new Black Panther Party, our general orders are supreme instruction that you have from your supreme captain of the new Black Panther Party. I advise everybody to stay black, to stay strong. Together we stand at divided, we will fall. So we've seen with a number of other organizations that fail. Now we know the positive thing about being positive thinking, positive and doing a positive thing, and we get positive results from this. But never did the Lord destroy the race of people until he sent one to teach them, to lead them, and to guide them into the signs of all truth. And no better truth could ever be accepted right now than we are the race of people are suffering because we are due for the life of knowledge through the man of God. Attorney Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is right on time. It's never in this day and time that any man that can match our leader. No, the brother's a diplomat. He was born to be who he is, what he is, why he is, and where he is. It's just a way of life. And I support it, not just with word and mouth, 101%. I'm willing to give my life for my brother because I know that he's right. He's the greatest human rights activist of all time. We see people like Mr. Jesse Jackson coming to perpetrate fraud among the ranks. When we was a general loser, and I snatched the flag of the United States from him and give him the red, black, and the green. Black power because, hey, brother, we got to stand up and be counted. We're not sissies. We're baby kids. We don't die. We multiply. So everybody got to remember, if you are a member of the new Black Panther Party, you must be black. You must say it loud. We're black and we're proud. You must think real quick. The Black Panther Party is the real league. So everybody is going to want to be around us. Everybody is going to see us. And when they see us, they're supposed to see us as the guard. We see the brother coming down the streets in the suits, the shirts, the bow tie, and the people run across the street. High five, Brother Hakeem, Black Power. The people want us, brother. They need us. And we got to learn to love our people. We must be strong. We must stay black at all times. And going back in the days of the time when me and brother Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad were at Muhammad Mosque on the 27th, our minister was Minister Wazir. And I believe just a few days ago I was talking with Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and he was telling me he was there. I said, oh, you got to go and weep my father for me. Because the whole time that I was incarcerated, I never fell down. I never sit down on my job. When I was released from prison in 91, I was Supreme Minister. I had sit up. And Brother Khalid was talking to me from Atlanta, two letters. I was reading the Muhammad Speaks paper about Salis Muhammad and stuff. And our brother was a soldier. So this should make a brother want to be something. If you're real, if you're who you say you are, then you're supposed to be out there. And the people supposed to know you. Never see somebody have to come into your city, your town, and see you to come in with a Panther uniform and you got all kind of stuff on you like you're some kind of juju, man. We supposed to know you. If I'm correct, the teachings are you can always tell a wise man by the signs and the symbols that he bears. So if you're a new Black Panther member, you're a new Black Panther warrior, you're a new Black Panther soldier, we supposed to know you. We supposed to see you out there. Look at our brother, the National Assistant Brother Sean Kwali. He's everywhere. Wherever Brother Molly can't get, or brother is there, he's going, and he never have to interfere in the conflict. Look at King Samir, our National Field Marshal, very strong, potent black man. In Atlanta, the brother went into his role and took care of the business. Oh, brother, say all praise is due to Allah. We need more positive, strong role models, so we need the people to see our brothers out there in the street. And when brother, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz says, that brother, he's new Black Panther Party member of the year. Oh, praise the dude to the Lord. I got to get close to this brother. I got to have him, and whatever he got to give it to me. And if he give it to me, I'm going to keep it and make it work. He said, brother, just keep going, brother. Come on, come on. Every day I have to call my brother. It's like Brother DK. If I can't get to Brother DK, I'm talking to his wife. I'm talking to his family. I'm trying to find out what's going on. But at this time, brother, I'm saying to everybody, stay back. Stay strong. As you see, by January the 12th, the Black Power General birthday is coming up. We want to see everybody in full effect. We want everybody to stay black and stay strong. Recognize the potential within us. Bring out the creative thoughts that flow within our minds. Brother, I really, really, deep down in my heart, appreciate you, brother, allowing me to give supreme instruction to our new Black Power Party, brothers and sisters and members. Each one should teach one. And everybody should be a role model for the world to look at, to see, and to understand that we can't be divided. Brother Drew was just finishing our local show in Dallas, and the brother was talking about snitches. We don't give a damn about no goddamn snitches. What we need now are people. If you're going to say something, say it right. If you're going to teach something, teach it right. And if you ain't going to be to it, don't be new to it. Get out the goddamn way and let the man of God, people do their work. Our people are in need of a deliverer. We're in need of a leader. A messenger of God is among us, and he's teaching us from a humanitarian perspective. He's a totalitarian in his own life, in his own time, and we must support. our leader and our teacher and our guide, Dr. and Attorney Molly Zulu Shabazz. So where are we at right now, brother? What do I have left to work with? Talk to me, Brother Sean.
Oh, brother, you got plenty of time. Let me throw some questions at you. And anybody that's on the line, if you have questions as well, of course, you know, just to press number one. You press one to talk to our Supreme Captain, Brother Hakeem Muhammad, the new Black Panther Party. And let me just be clear, our national assistant, the national assistant is Sister Amira Sankofa. Just for those that don't know, my official post is the national spokesman, Sean Corley, so there's no confusion. But I do assist, so I'm not offended by that at all, dear brother. Let me throw some questions at you, my dear brother. What year was it? What year was it that you first began to work with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad? What year did you first begin to work with the Black Power General?
Let me travel back to the top of the time. Basically, I believe it was around 1970. I come out of South Oak Hill from 72 in Dallas. Around 1973, I moved to the West Coast. I was the same. When I got to Los Angeles, California, CQ was having a shootout with the SLA. Around 1973, sir.
Yes, sir. So you're saying 73, huh?
Yes, sir. We both was at Muhammad Mosque number 27, the West Coast Regional Mosque. Up under the minister Wazir Muhammad.
So you're a long time soldier in this mission. So let us, for the listening audience, for those who don't know, because we can't assume everybody's on this radio is Panther. What is it that you look for as a Supreme Captain? What is it that you look for in the membership or the helpers of our National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz? What are you looking for in terms of helping the Panther cadre and the Panther ranks?
Just a back power. Very good question. You know, in these days and times, people claim to be with something that they're not. We are taught in the Nation of Islam, Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, all the Black Power General always elaborate on this. If a brother, if a sister is educating themselves on a daily basis, if he's reading and he's teaching, he's preparing himself for the world. It's like if you're going to go into guerrilla jungle warfare, you must know what to do. So if a brother don't know, he needs to ask somebody so he won't run around with his nose all started. Ask somebody. So I'm looking for people who are asking questions and who are traveling on roads that suddenly travel down the through the multitude. Brothers need to ask questions. So when I see these brothers, I'm greeting these brothers, I'm teaching these brothers, I want to learn from them who this brother is and what he has. But when we look and we find the qualities of this brother, that brother goes into full effect in that position. And that brother is you. So we're trying to find people that are real, that are not new to it, but true to the new Black Panther Party. And I'm trying to get with these people so I can see what they have in their heart and whatever they have to offer. You have to sharpen their talents and their trade to make these people great, even greater than what they are. So I'm looking for people who want to be role models, who wants to go into the 21st century being somebody. So I'm trying to get out to the people. The word of God that's coming from Attorney Dr. Molly Sue Shabazz is that we all have a job. We have some butchers, some bakers, and some candlestick makers, the colleague would say. So everybody must know his craft. So when the time comes, you won't be surprised. You'll just swing into action. And if you know that you're baking bread, you know you need yeast, you know you need flour, these are the people that I'm trying to keep with. These are the people that we need to be role models in the 21st century. These are the people who know responsibility and obligation is, because you ask him about baking bread, he's a baker, you can hear it, you can know it, you can feel the texture of this brother, Black Power.
Black Power. Now, when I first saw you, my brother, I honestly first saw you in the footage of Jasper, Texas. You were a brother who was covering down the Black Power General pretty much wherever he went with a shotgun with you. Can you kind of explain to the listening audience what it was like for you when you were there in Jasper, Texas at that time with the new Black Panther Party?
Yes, sir. Black Power again. Basically, let me go back a little bit before that and we finally elaborate on what happened. When Brother Connie was making the move to come to Dallas, I believe with the London, and Brother Connie was every day we talked. Every day, me and this brother, we talked on the phone, backwards and forwards. And I don't care how busy he was, He always thought out the point. Brother, I love you. I care about you. When I come out of the prison in 91, Muhammad Bonds number 48 chartered a bus and took me to Chicago for Savior's Day. All right? So when we pulled up to the palace of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where Minister Louis Farrakhan was staying, I woke up. I was sitting on the back of the bus, and I was very excited. And when I looked up, Brother Khaled was telling me to get up, brother. The leader, he's waiting on you. Don't hold him up. Let's go. He asked me. He showed me that he cared about me. And I've never really seen people who care about nobody today. Because most people, you know, they just want you for what you are because they can get 50 cents out of your quarter. But Brother Khaled never in his life, never had he ever asked me for anything. He always contributed to my education. So after that, the Minister of Farrakhan wanted to make me a minister. Now, I said, well, I like to decline the office. So I just want to go into security and you're the talker, you know. So Brother Khaled, he said, brother, we'll take care of you. That brother got on the phone. He called my mama just like Attorney Mali Zulu Shabazz did. Brother Khaled got on the phone. He called my mother. He told my mama that I was special to him, and that he would take care of me, and that my mom should have no fear because nothing would happen to me or come of me because he seen something in me. That brother loved me, and it was not nothing punkified or pacified or sissified about our relationship. We bonded. So one day I got a phone call, and my brother told me he was coming. I didn't know when, but he told me to prepare myself. Brother, she said, all the time that I've always seen you, I've always told you to be upon the supreme instructions of the supreme captain. At that time, with Brother Frank Muhammad, and Captain Shahid from the West Coast found out that this was going down, he told me to take care of him. So I did well up until the time where the assassination attempt was made upon our brother's life there at the University of California, Riverside. That's why I went back to the Muslim community to seek out to find out what really went on. So Brother kind of rolled in on the plane, and I flipped out my security bag. I rolled into a fake, and when I went on the plane, I said, Brother Khaled, I'm here, let's go. He said, you ready? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know now. He said, we're the new Black Panther Party. He said, you can bag down. He said, you can bag out. He said, but if you punk out, you know what's going to happen. I said, I ain't no punk. He said, well, let's go. I grabbed my brother's bag, and when we come off the plane, we covered down on him. He looked. He said, you keep coming. I said, let's go. I put a diamond around my brother, back into the bathroom. We come out, and brother did a press release, and all hell broke loose down here. Brother, this is why the headquarters. Man, you wouldn't believe it, what you seen. Our brother, he rolled out, and we just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. We keep going and keep going and keep going. The sky is the limit. That brother really, really loved our people. I remember one time our brother, we was in San Antonio, Texas, and a prostitute was walking the street. Our brother said, pull a cobra. He got out and talked to the sister. And next time I seen the sister, she was in a MGT uniform. And I couldn't believe it. But, you know, brothers and a Muslim, we don't stare at sisters. But I remember what he said. And I remember what he showed her. The brother, he didn't see any obstacle in his way. And so me, I learned to take on his character, his conduct. And when he told me, brother, might take a couple of time that you might have to take up arms to give up this white man because he's the devil. I said, you said that, you meant that, you stand upon that, you're about to, let's do it. True, I was suited and booted. It was on. And I always kept it because a whole bunch of times people would see Brother Khaled and they wouldn't see me. But Brother Khaled would tell you there's a military that you see inside and one that you see outside. Because at the death angel from the Zebra Killer, we had military strategy in our mind. You know, wiping out all annihilating the goddamn white man because he's a no good bastard. So this is why we bring these charges against him with being the greatest liar, thief, rape, robber, killing deceiver of our people. So by any means necessary, as Brother Malcolm X would say, hey, get suited and booted. It's the ballot or the bullet. So my brother told me, get strapped. Oh, no problem. He said, hey, didn't take you long. I said, no, but I'm strong. So it's just the way it was. We just did the goddamn thing, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. You, my brother, obviously exhibit a whole host of training and history. Kind of share with the audience your background in terms of your captain, who it was that trained you, the kind of experience you had with your captain before you became the Supreme Captain.
Black Power, all praise is due to a lot. You know, this is something I really never thought about. Let's go back. When I come in the Nation of Islam in 1967, 1968, I was under Isaiah Kareem, Minister Isaiah Kareem, here at Muhammad Mosque number 48. This is when we started doing those killings. This is when I was transferred from Dallas, Texas to Muhammad Mosque number 27. And then when I got there, Minister Wazir was there. Okay, at that time, it was Supreme Captain Raymond Sharif. Captain Shaheed was a former quarterback, like for the college, a quarterback. When I was in prison, my Supreme Captain was Eugene Omar Sharif. He was a personal bodyguard for Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, when he was doing a deal with the United States government to fight him, he was living in Houston, but he came to Dallas, Texas. And when he came to Dallas, Texas, he went to my neighbor who was named Cookie Wallace, a heavyweight contender at that time. And Muhammad Ali came outside, and I had posted up. I was on point at his Rosewater Smoker home. He said, "Brother, you're a Muslim?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Okay." And at that time, he thought he'd be like his son. So at this time, a brother named Brother David X, who's over there in Chicago, has 999 years. This brother taught me martial art. This brother was our first-degree black belt in Taekwondo. At this time, Raymond Sharif was still Supreme Captain. So as we went into the prison system, we formed an alliance with other organizations, and we bonded, and we kept going. The federal judge, Sandra Day O'Connor, sent for us. And when she sent for us, she found out that we were following the format of the Nation of Islam, and the sister told him, "You got problems. I think you better deal with them." I didn't take the money. I didn't sell out. I just kept coming. I released from California for being one of the people killers, and then they transferred me to Texas and studied law, and I got a reversal on the death sentence for robbery and murder. There was never any robbery. I got an acquittal on a murder case, and then the manslaughter I caught for time. When I come out at this time, Brother Frank Muhammad, who was the Supreme Captain for Minister Louis Farrakhan, was instructed by Minister Farrakhan and Brother Collins to take care of me. So whenever the minister moved, within 1,000 miles from Dallas, I rolled out. When I rolled out, it just started coming. And when I looked up, next thing I know, I had three Lincolns, just like the captain of the Mars. We had a brother, he said, "See that brother? He likes Brother Collins, Brother Collins likes us." The brothers, they started doing things. I didn't have to even tell them. You know, when we were having our FOI trainings and stuff, the Supreme Captain was Frank Muhammad. He was being very, 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 very discreet with me. So after this time, the brother becomes the Supreme Investigator. I rolled up to Brother Collins, and we just kept coming. So that's Raymond Sharif, upon the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Frank Muhammad, and the Black Power General himself, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. So we're hearing that you served some time. Can you tell us how it is that you survived? There's a lot of our brothers who listen who are in the concentration camps. Can you kind of give them some inspiration? What kept you going as you were in the concentration camp in the belly of the beast?
Oh, praise it due to a lot of Black Power. Brother Sean, you know, I'm looking back and thinking about the oneness of Allah. If it wouldn't have been for him, I wouldn't have made it. You know, what set it off down here in Texas, we had some problems. And then we had a sister right in the Muhammad speech that the brothers of the Nation of Islam, one of the FOI tenants, are becoming passive. And that they're allowing people to kill their ministers and stuff in the South. So one day I was at my job, and the brother rolled up on me, "Brother, he said, we sounded an alarm that we need soldiers." We rolled out to take care of the business, and after we returned, all of it dispersed. I went to the West Coast and got there. And some other brothers walked in looking like some magicians and stuff, and I got in the car, and it was on again. You know, I believe we put lesson number 9 into full effect. Why does Muhammad kill the devil? The answer was that for every head that you deliver to Muhammad, you will get a chance to go to Black Mecca and get your pen. So the first killing was horrifying. Then it got to be a way of life. I guess you would call it a zombie house slaughter. You know, I have to come very professional in my craft and killing devils. No need of no gun. It was just business, and I learned to love it and still like it that today. I find myself still craving for these tendencies because it's something that's in me, and I just can't get rid of it or get it out of me. All right. When I was incarcerated, they got me. I was a Muslim. I started praying. Surely, O Lord, I turn myself being upright to you who has originated the heavens and the earth, and I'm not a politician. For surely my life, my prayer, my death, and sacrifice belong to Allah. For I've been unjust to myself, and I confess my faults, for none grant protection against my faults but thee. Guide me to the best tomorrow, for none guides me to the best tomorrow but thee, and exalt Muhammad, the true followers of Muhammad, as you indeed exalt Abraham, the true followers of Abraham. Surely, the majesty you praise, he said, is out of your majesty. A brother rolled up on me and said, brother, you a Muslim? Yes, sir. Next thing I know, the brothers started congregating and started talking, affiliations based upon association. So at that time, no homosexual could approach me. But the ministry is moving. The brothers had love for me all the time. I was teaching, brother, constantly teaching, praying with the brothers. I watched, I don't know, it's just something that the Lord gives us, brother, that when you have this realness in your heart, you unite with your people and stuff. This is why the federal judge, Sandra Day O'Connor, sent for us, because here in Texas, they declared me to be a gang member, a gang leader. But why would you call me a gang member or a gang leader? Because I come into the mosque, and there are only 40 Muslims, and all of a sudden there's 600. So there was always a time that I would have to stand up against the Klan, that was the racist police, and the brute beast police, and I never would back down. So they said, well, we got to get rid of this guy. But when we get him out of the circulation, then we can deal with the rest. About this time, when they removed me from the population, they put me on administrative segregation. So one of the BGF, not the BGF, it was the Latins who come after me. So in the morning time, I was always able to study the law books. In the evening time, I'm educating myself in religion. I'm always doing physical structure, exercise, push-ups, sit-ups. You know, brother Spencer himself, he must be physically strong, mentally strong, morally strong, because when you're in the belly of the beast, brother, all obstacles are in your way. You've got a situation where, like my cousin James Dumache, they wrote about him being the most dangerous man to ever live on death row. The brother fought for his survival, and I looked at my brother. Then one day, a big drug dealer, his brother's name was Damian Richardson, sent for me one night. I said, I'll come open him. I rolled out. I went and looked at this dude looking like Minister Parker's child. So we were sitting and talking. And the brother asked me, did I know him? I said, well, no, not really. He said, I understand that you're in communication with Minister Farrakhan. I said, yes. Yes. He said, what about this Khalid Muhammad? I said, how do you know this? This brother told me anything went on inside this prison, he knew him. He said, I know you don't have anything, brother, but what you need. Allah has always blessed me, brother. Don't you know that it's been many years since I've been in the white man's job? Because I'm like, Brother Cotter, I can't stay, because when I call the white man the devil, he's going to fire me. And don't you know, I've never suffered. I've been despaired, but never have I wanted for anything, because whenever I went somewhere in the prison system, in the street, unity was shown. So the love that I was taught for our people and the tenets, the format of the new Black Panther Party was already in me. Human rights, constitutional rights, and the love of our people. So if you unite with the right people inside, you have to be with those people who want something, not the pump chasers, not the gamblers, not the brothers shooting the hoop, or the people who sit there watch the TV all day. You have to be doing something constructive, educating yourself on a regular basis where when you come out, you prepare yourself, because the way the system is set up, that you will go back. They'll give you some pacified, punkified education, but it's really not worth it. What you got? They had educated me to be a computer operator. So when I got out, I was supposed to go to some automotive program and go to pull parts for cars. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I would believe, and this is not what I taught. In case y'all don't know, I was there with the locker dancers on the soul train. I was an entertainer. The brother told me, say, brother, you better stop all the dancing. I said, well, you know, I started doing it because with Sly Stone, who was saying, don't call me nigga Whitey. And this is where I headed. But they say, challenge that. Take that energy and put it in its proper perspective and use it, brother, and the people will believe in what you're saying. So this is basically how I dealt with the structure from being inside the prison, by educating myself, each one teach one, and supporting the struggle. Black power.
Black power. Very, very important answer, my brother, because there's a lot of our comrades who listen to this show who are locked down, both male and female, so we appreciate your input. Look at the Black Power movement today, my brother, versus
what you all had there in the 60s going into the 70s. It's vastly different today in terms of 2011. The movement today is vastly different. So kind of give some advice to the youth that are listening. What should the youth be doing in this hour, and what is the youth's role in this movement?
Oh, Brother Sean. Hey, brother, you see why I have so much love for you. It's one thing about you. You more like Brother Malik, Brother Khaled, than anybody that I ever seen. That's why I was offended the other night when you checked his food. And he said, well, I don't remember. Hey, okay, let me get right to this. I like to talk to you, brother. You know, when I came up, I was a Christian. I accepted Islam in 6 days. The hardest thing for me to do was to lay down my pork chop. You know, I was offensive when the brother told my mama. And my mom said to the little brother one day, she said, Brother David, I'm fixing Brother Isaac's favorite food. And the brother was a Muslim. So he said, he was teaching me the reality of the mother plane. We were talking about the mother plane being 1.5 miles by high, 1,400 small fighter bomber plane. And we were doing it from the book of Ezekiel, or how you've seen the wheel. We're small children, and we're talking about the reality of what we see and think and what we believe. Our minds are open. It was Isaiah Jesus who said, come unto me as little children. So when a child is small, he always wants to know. So you don't never tell him no. You explain what he's asking. Because we as babies, when we come into the world, we are physical. We always want to touch. When you're touching and feeling, you're seeing, you're exploring, your mind is open to thoughts. Your imagination is bright. And it's vivid. There's something that needs to go into detail. And this is why the youth are very important to us today. When I came up, brother told me one day, brother, let's go to the mosque. Now, when I got there, Isaiah Kareem, he was blasting him. He took a cross, he broke it in half, threw it down. He took a pill, him buttermilk complexion, Jesus picture, and he broke it. And I went and told my mom, and she slapped me in the mouth. She said, you stay away from the Muslim. And I went right back again because questions were being answered. And these days and time, our youth are in need of questions to be answered. They're inquiring minds that need and want to know. In Ghana, we have a Freedom Day. Sergeant for Kwame Nkrumah, when he gained the independence of the people, it was the young people who put him into power. J.B. Donquan, the Big Six, they supported that brother when he left the United States to come here. That was a conspiracy by the FBI to overthrow this brother. But it was the youth. It was the youth who took to the streets. And when Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah was voted in to be the president, this brother was in prison. It was the youth. So everywhere I went, I noticed that it was always the young people. They were educating themselves. Even if you look in the Quran, Muhammad Ali, no, the Yusuf Ali Quran, then you see that he sit down and wrote 114 surahs from Arabic to English. It wasn't scholars. It was students. It was the youth. Inquiring minds that want to know are people that we need to lead and teach because these are the role models in the 21st century. And as we usher in our way into the 21st century, we need to teach the youth because tomorrow is their future. For me, it's just another day. So if we are being responsible people, we need to educate the youth. Because these are the people that will be the flag bearers. These are the people that will be the role models in the 21st century. But we don't want to give our youth the wrong education. We need to lead them right, teach them right, and when they see us being righteous in our character and our conduct, all praise is due to Allah. But we're ready to deal with this goddamn devil. Like Black Power.
Yes, sir, my brother. You've been in the nation. You were active in the nation for quite some time. Did you ever get to interact with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Yes, sir. A Black Power. My father was like a secretary. Let me explain to you about my little history of my family. Then everybody kind of know me. My father was from Louisiana, and he came to Texas, and he married my mom, who was a basketball player and pretty beautiful lady, very beautiful queen. So when we came here as Christians and stuff, my father was really trying, struggling, but his education wasn't well. But then my mom had the education, so my father wanted to be a Mason. In some kind of way, he ended up being a Muslim. So what they were doing at this time, when we
was moving around to Dallas, moving to the white neighborhood, my father become pro-black. And she ended up into the Mars, and I drifted into the Mars, and my father was basically like the money man. You know, he was like a treasurer, but he was like a secretary, so he was constantly on a regular basis. He was going to Chicago. So one day he said, let's go. He said, we're going to travel to Chicago. And when I got there, I said, what in the world is this whole place? You know? My father went to the palace. He was carrying money. He bought a whole bunch of money from here. And I said, wow, look at this place. I said, what is this? And then the brother was talking, and all of a sudden the messenger come through, and everybody got tense. I mean, I don't know whether it was scared or I couldn't figure it out. I was really astounded. And my father was talking to him. He advised my father well. My father had told him he had bought his son, and I almost passed out, brother. I almost passed out. I had been seeing the picture, hearing the voice of Brother Malcolm, and there he was. I said, hey, people don't even see this man. And here my father walked in and found him a briefcase full of money, and say it was an experience. And never in my life have I ever experienced anything. And to see the messenger of God up close, brother, is something that comes in you that you never forget, because his English, it was real Southern, but it was broken, and it was word verbatim, and every word the brother spit was wisdom. I see people like Minister Farrakhan can take two sentences of the messenger's teachings and expound on it for hours, and he was a very humble brother. And he bowed just as low as you would bow to show you the love that he had for the people, because the people had to love the messenger in their heart. Black Power.
Yes, sir, my brother. Black Power to you again. And so you also became a part of the security detail for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Talk to us about that, your experience with that. We're trying to get your history out of you, Brother Supreme. Talk about it.
Oh, Black Power. As I was saying, that I was released from prison, I believe, in 1991. And when I was released from prison, everybody seen the documents that I had. Official correspondent for Minister Farrakhan and Sister Ava Muhammad, when she was left responsible for the Nation of Islam as a brother Minister Farrakhan that was traveling overseas. When the bus that was chartered got there, everybody was taking pictures of the college. Come and got me and took me to the Minister Farrakhan in the palace. We went through the security checks and everything. We were seated in the dining hall. Then the minister come out, and he spoke with us, and he told me to, brother, the instructions were laid down to me, and Brother Khaled, you know, supported me and told the minister how we had been corresponding. And so the minister asked me to go into the ministry, and I declined. It wasn't that I didn't want to talk, because I didn't need to talk. The minister was doing the talking then. So when Minister Farrakhan asked me what did I want to do, I asked him, did I go into security? So at that time, Brother Frank Muhammad was the supreme captain. So Brother Khaled and Brother Frank Muhammad talked that Brother Hakeem should go and be treated as a captain. And the Dallas didn't really appreciate it. They didn't like this, because Brother Carl Muhammad was the minister then, and what we did was a rover thing. The first officer, the lieutenant, and the captain came up under the tent of the FOI. Ministers and secretaries didn't apply. So by me not going into the ministry, that means automatically I went into the FOI, and any person that worked in security for Minister Farrakhan had to be a security brother. A security brother is a soldier. So that means that we had to be trained. So when the brothers took me back, and they said, okay, give us a report. It's the same. We don't know what to say about this brother. What's wrong? He said, this brother here, he's not soft. They say he might be him, but he ain't going to break. But after that, I received order from Brother Frank Muhammad that any time Minister Farrakhan was to move to the United States 1,000 miles from my house, that I was to roll out. But after the brother there, this year was going on in the FOI, the captain of Muhammad Mars number 48 come to me. And I said, brother, he said, brother, we understand that you'll be traveling with the leader. I said, yes, sir. Your brother, we'd like to also let you know that there are other brothers who love you and care about you, because the love that you have for Brother Khaled and Minister Farrakhan, and now the security team that's been put together brothers that are helpful, I told you, we're giving you a squad of 9 brothers, and you have access to 3 Lincoln Town Cars, just like the Minister Rose. He's under your supervision, up under your supervision to secure our leader. That's just how it went. To hear is to obey, and what I do is what I do. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Did you get to interact with any of the Black Panther Party members of the 60s?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Back then, you know, I'm kind of Christian Muslim, and it was never a problem. Oh, wait. There's a brother here named Fahim Minka, Fred Bell, and there were several other brothers that I came up with, but it was the nation that really had focus on me because I wanted to be a Black James Bond, so to speak. I enjoyed dressing it, and I enjoyed being with the elite people. And the brothers, I didn't understand it because I didn't really have time because I was an athlete in school, and by me being a Muslim, it left me very little time. You know, I was married at the age of 16, and I was 17. My wife had my first child, and my child went on to marry a football player from the University of Oklahoma under Barry Switzer, Gene Wilson. And my daughter was a cheerleader at the University of Texas in Austin with playing college. I never really did get a chance much to interact with the brothers. We always seen each other. We talked, supported each other, loved each other. But to go into, you know, the deep philosophy of the original Panther Party, not until Brother Zulu, but our K-9 patrol, had to sit down to educate me and teach me and show me. And then, but I've always understood that we've always intertwined. When I was discharged to Muhammad Farz number 27, the brothers that were zebra killers had come from the Black Panther Party. And the orders were that the brothers had just basically said they were going to stand up. They wasn't taking any orders from the old man. And they, what they said, they meant, and what they meant, they were just finna swing into action. I said, it sounded like my kind of party. I jumped in the car with them brothers, and it was on. And next thing I know, the brothers were telling me that I was under arrest for something, and I said, for what? And they said, well, you know, you committed a crime. I said, what crime have I committed? I said, you should file these charges on the United States government because they committed the crime. Rape, robbery, kidnapping, grand larceny, and you're charging me for killing a few hundred white people? I ain't done nothing. I said, you're the people that should be charged with it. So these are the allegations when I went into the trial. And they made me a villain. And, you know, basically, you know, I was a youth because when I was told to kill the white man, he was the devil. And I just maybe got a little carried away with it. I don't play the dupes you enough. What can I say?
All in self-defense, my brother. And so what year did you join the new Black Panther Party?
Brother Khalid Muhammad came here when this other Michael guy was around. And when Brother Khalid came here, it must have been around, it was in the early 90s. I never really thought this. I'm going to tell you what Hashim Nasinger said to me in South Carolina. He said 20 years ago. I say, in the Ashanti language, au revoir. It means you're lying. 20 years ago. This is what Hashim said. He said, you're a classic. I said, who are you insulting? I said, I'm not no old man. He said, you here. He said, don't you know you've been here 20 years? Because when I got married, I called Brother Hashim and told him. And when I was traveling, he would always tell me to go east, and I always went west because Brother Connie was always like that. You know, Hashim Nasinger walked into the mosque one day, and he told him that he needed to secure Brother Connie. And I come out in 91, and me and Black Power General had been corresponding. So when he walked in, they had just formed a coup in 48 and threw the minister out. And the secretary became the minister, and they were trying to make me the captain. And I wasn't taking it. So when the meeting was going on, Brother Hashim Nasinger walked in. And when he walked in, he told everybody, I heard. Some brothers turned their back to him. So when Brother Hashim walked out the door, I said, nah, this is what something I want. Let me explain to you why I did this. The other brother, that's named Bashir Muhammad. Minister Farrakhan came here the next year after I was released from prison to Dallas, Texas. He had never come here. And he came during the middle of the week. And I remember him telling people that he don't sing and dance, and Michael Jackson had just left on the weekend, and here it is the middle of the week, and he had four people to see him than Michael did to see, watch him dance. Minister Farrakhan, I'm losing the chain of thought. At this time, Minister Farrakhan, he was... He He was very, 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 very discreet into dealing with us. I lost the chain of thought, but I'm still coming with it. So when in the early 90s, Brother Collins told me that the 9 was the 6th turn upside down. He said, if you know your past, then you will know your future. He said, if you study the mistakes of the past, then you won't let the same thing happen in the future and you'll go straight. Oh, man, I really think because the brother, he taught me so much. Let me let you go on because really just keep going and keep going. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's what we want. You're fine, brother. You're fine. I mean, keep talking. You was at the point where you said Hashim and Zynga said he heard them. And you said that's what you want to roll with. Go from there.
Yes, sir. Okay, so, man, whoa, you just don't know what happened to me, brother. Hashim, they wouldn't help him. And at the same time, my brother wanted me to be part of a coup that was happening in the mosque, and I wanted nothing to do with it. Even though the brother had a dislike for me, that was the minister that was thrown out behind misappropriation of nation funds, I had no part of the coup, but it was to put me to be a puppet in a regime that I knew was not protocol of the Nation of Islam. So when Hashim Nazinga walked in, I didn't know it. So at that time, the brother said, he greeted everybody, and he said, y'all know that Brother Khalid Muhammad is coming here, so I thought he was coming to be the minister. This is what I always wanted. I always asked him to come to Dallas to be the minister. He said, Brother Khalid is coming, so we need security. So I said, what the hell is this dude? What is he talking about? I knew Brother Khalid had been talking to me on the phone and telling me. And he was asking me, could I handle this? Could I do this? I say, brother, come on. Come on. I kept telling him, come on. Come on, I got you. I got you. Come on. So when Hashim walked in, he walked out. When Hashim walked out, he got to his car. He said, man, he was mumbling something to himself. I said, open the door, brother. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going with you. We got in the car. But y'all listen to this, and you might not believe this. We got in the car. We hit a few corners, and we took off. We rolling down the street. I think he was talking to Malik at this time. And I heard him say something, and he was very dismayed. So he said, brother, he said, it's just me and you, and we got to get Brother Khan in San Antonio, Texas. I said, well, what do you need? He said, we need soldiers. I said, hand me your telephone. The brother handed me his telephone. I hit Bashir Muhammad. He had the Nation of Islam. And when I hit Bashir, I think that was some bad blood at this time because the messenger, the brother had a picture he showed me of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming to Texas and riding around and how he, Joe Tex was a minister in New Orleans and stuff. They went back and forth. I said, hey, man, check this out. So I get on. Bashir had asked me to become his supreme captain of his Nation of Islam. At that time, he asked me, what do we need? I said, I'm sounding the alarm. The Black Power General is coming, and I need soldiers. I need him. He said, I also asked you to be my supreme captain because my son is there, and he's not the soldier I want. I need you. I said, all general orders in full effect, brother. Whatever you say, I do. But right now, I need help for my brother. He said, what do you need? I said, 100 soldiers. He said, you got them. I sounded the alarm to the Southern Regional Captain. I called in. He said, we're spending a special task force, Major Reginald showed. Then by that time, I look up and people just start coming out of the woodwork. Hashim Nazinga bear witness to this because he was driving and I was on his phone and he looked at me. You know, Brother Khalid, that brother is a magnet. Say, to be around a brother like that and not to respect him, you're really not true to what you're doing. You're just new to it. And when they rolled in, we went and got Brother Khalid. He looked around. He said, who's responsible for this? I pointed Hashim Nazinga and Hashim told him. He said, I don't know who he is, but I know one thing. He knows what he's doing. So Brother Khalid said, what are you standing there for, brother? Get busy. And I knew what I was doing because I was on the security team for the leader. So I rolled out. When I rolled out, I started posting brothers up just like I had seen Captain Sharif do it, just like I had seen Frank Muhammad handle the Supreme King for Minister Farrakhan that we called the Supreme Minister at that time. So it was nothing. 2 years to obey. You know, when you're a quarterback in this game, like Brother Collins and our captain from California, you have to know the playbook. And if you're good, there's nothing wrong with it. You just get better at it. You just get better and better and better. We call it being season fruit. Okay, Black Power?
Yes, sir. Good teaching there. So tell us, my brother, what are some of your goals? It's a brand new year on the white man's calendar, a brand new year. And so we're moving forward. Of course, we're cranking up the heat. The new Black Panther Party is cranking up the heat on all levels. So what are some of your goals for the new Black Panther Party going into this new year?
Brother Sher, I don't want you to laugh at what I'm finna say. I'm serious about this. You know, this is the headquarters here of the Ku Klux Klan, and we done shut them down. Since we shut them down and don't allow them to do anything here, what we want to do now, I'm praying to God, I talk to Brother Akbar on a daily basis every morning, and I'm asking the Lord to give me the knowledge and the wisdom that I need to become a role model to the people. My mom was saying to me today, she's an evangelist, and she's leading spiritual healings and stuff. She told my Lisa that this, what I'm doing, is not new to her. It don't surprise her because she's been like this all her life. And me, when I thought about it, I say, a lot of my life, my prayer, my death, and my sacrifices for thee. Everybody wants to be preachers and teachers and leaders. But me, I live down here in the South, brother. And the white man got his foot on everybody's neck, except for me. But I'm not scared of this no good pastor. I want to be the goddamn governor of the state of Texas. Brother, I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. There's a mansion in Austin, Texas, where we have a white boy that claims that he's a god. I want to go up against this Tuckerwood and announce that I'd like to run to be the governor of the state of Texas. And from here, from the headquarters, we would be role models for the world to see. Because here the white man is the goddamn devil, but he got the reverse psychology upon our people. And our people only want to go so far because that's all that they can grow. But a move like this, you got the Tea Party, you got the Democrats, you got the Republicans, and the new Black Panther Party. And this is my agenda. I'm making a move for the goddamn governor mansion because I need a house. My people need a place to stay, and the rules and the regulations need to be abided by Black Power.
That's what I'm talking about, my dear brother. I know that we have a few minutes left here. I know that you are a world traveler. I know that you go back and forth to the mother country. Kind of talk to some of our people on some of the things that you see when you go back and forth to our homeland, because many of us are misinformed. We look at what we see on TV. What do you see when you're over there?
Well, I heard with the gun of West Africa, I find it to be very strange. You know, it's very hot there. I got there and the place looked like Los Angeles. Well, I end up staying is in the jungle. I live in the Ashanti region. The Ashanti regions are the Ashantis. The Ashantis are very arrogant people, very troublesome, very worrisome. But these people have a right to be like this. All the gold that they had is now up under European rule. These were deals that they made to get their freedom. So Osagyefo, Kwame Nkrumah, I studied him well. I went to El Mino, and I deal with the people there. The people there were betrayed. They were looking for a white messiah to come. And I studied with the Ahmadiyya there. And these people educated me to where knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So I took it from there, and I got a visa to travel to Tripoli, Libya, to meet Muammar Gaddafi. At that time, he became the head of state. It's like Obama is the president. Every country has a president, but Obama, he's limited. Here, we have what you call Sharia law. The Sharia law is the rule of the Muslim. So when I was talking to Gaddafi's wife, she asked me what was I was there for. And when I told her where I come from, she kind of frowned. My people are very poor there, very poor. And I asked them to help me do my work. And the sister told me to go into the mosque and pray. When I come out, the sister handed me an envelope. She said, I pray that Allah help you and bless you and take this and go on your way. I made that move, brother. From there, I went into Cairo, Egypt. And then I made alliances with one brother, and we went on into Omar al-Bashir. He had caught 20 and went into Darfur. Omar al-Bashir, that brother, I say, these people are saying things about you, that genocide and all this stuff. He said, if that's true, why do you think the people just vote me in again to be the president of the country? He said, don't believe what white folks say. He said, if you black Muslim, you black Panther, no, the white man is the devil. He wants to rule this country. He wants to take from us. But we're standing up and fighting him. He said, even if you go before the Geneva Convention, and even if you go before the UN, and I plead my case, I have no win there. So they have to come here and deal with me. He said, do you see me hiding? Do you see me sneaking? No, sir. He said, I'm out here walking the streets and talking with you and teaching. So this is what I believe the brother was right. It was the same way when I went into South Africa. Jacob Zuma, you know, they were trying to shear up the government there, but the brother was a strong man. Matter of fact, my child was born the same time his child was born. We were dancing and wearing our lawn cloths, you know. And the brother is a real man. He's black orientated. He's pro-black this and not anti-anything else. Our president, His Excellency Atai Mills, is a twin. And he's a traditionalist. Traditionalists mean they follow the rules, the regulations, the land that they were governed by since the beginning of time. The Vice President John Mahama is a Muslim. And they say, hey, brother, you have to work collectively with people to push your format. He said, if you get the common denominator to be one, and only one thing in your agenda is the people, he said, you can't lose. He said, the people are you, and you are the people. And I said, hey, it sounds like the new Black Panther Party thing is gone. I met a dude named, he was a fighter. Anyway, I went to this brother and I talked to him. And when I talked to him and stuff, he told me, he said, brother, if what you're saying, he said, I done retired. His name was Jacob Zuma. Maybe y'all might know him. When I left, the brother put the name of Black Panther on his gym, and it's still there today. In my time and days of living there in West Africa for over 5 years, I built 5 mosques before Mission House. They're called Master El Hakim. I become a chief. I'm called Onkoswahini. I'm the chief of development. I'm the Onshantahini. It's one of the richest kings in Africa. It's like my nephew because his uncle adopted me. Read a few poems and stuff, and my big mosque where I live is very large. And I went into teaching the college students, and I built 2 different mosques. And we built a mosque inside our village where we built a hostel. Then I traveled to the main college, and I renovated another mosque, and they named it after me. I was driving a Suzuki Jeep when I traveled because the roads are bad. The people don't like to pay taxes in the country, so Brother King rolling the Benz. So I was driving a big Suzuki Jeep, and everywhere I went, you know, people were singing and talking, and you got a monsters are everywhere. The people are politicians, and I met with some of the most powerful Muslims that I heard Mr. Farrakhan talking to Kill behind, and the people were liking me, and I liked them, and so I learned to become part of the people, and the people loved me, and brother, you wouldn't believe the unity, the solidarity of black unity, brother, is power. Children that you would just give them a cup of rice and 4 or 5 of them would soup down as we say the Indians do and eat with their hands. They don't use silverware. They feel love to see that a brother care about them enough to offer them to. In the morning, we take bread. Enrich Peace Flour Fresh Baked Bread in the morning, and we'll take tea with sugar. Me, I don't care about no white bread. How to eat to live from God in person. My mouth will fly Muhammad basic, my diet structure. You know, but when I went there, brother, if y'all know, I disappeared for a while. I was suffering from diabetes. I suffered from hypertension. I suffered from depression because I didn't see any wind, didn't see any hope, blood pressure problem. I come back and I don't have any sickness, brother. So the medicines are there. We got access to getting them to you. I hear people are suffering from thyroid problems. They call it piles. The medicine is there. So I learned to deal with these doctors and the homeopathic medicines and stuff, and they work for me. So now I'm here to give the devil hell from the cradle to the grave. So our people there love us, they support us, and they really enthused about the new Black Panther Party doing this because they told me that there's nothing like this exists. Now when I was talking about Dr. Khalid Muhammad, they said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, well, there's another one. They said, well, another one? I said, yeah, it's Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And the people, when I was talking, they would sit down. He said, wait a minute, hold on. He was making phone calls. Wait, get this person on the phone. And I looked up at people within. Next thing I know, I said, this is a roundtable discussion. So I've seen Brother Khaled do it, and I've seen Minister Farrakhan do it. So I just rolled right into it and kept going and kept coming. So now Allah has blessed me. The guy, I'm 55 years old with a son, 1 year old. All praise is due to Allah. And his name
yes,
is Khaled.
Sir. A shining testament to what you're saying, my brother. Tell the people in these last moments we have here, tell the people why you believe that they should organize or link up with the new Black Panther Party under the leadership of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Oh, right. Say, hey, I like this. You know what? I never really had a chance to say this to anybody. I tried everything else, and it didn't work, because I could get no justification out of it. I worked on job with my feet and my head and all the work that I did was for the other man. Now, in being a member of the new Black Panther Party, we want change. The Quran says, in order for you to bring about a change among the people, you must first bring about a change within your heart, within your condition. And I don't see my condition being changed, and my heart won't be right unless I be down with the new Black Panther Party tonight. Every night I'm praying. I'm constantly on my prayer rug, brother. And I'm asking Allah, hey, help me, help me. I say, this is what I want to do. And as Hashim Najee going to say, it's been 20 years, brother. I say, you know, I have man a job. He said, you got a job. I never looked at this as no job. I looked at this as being a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be a new Black Panther Party member. And if everybody felt like me, thought like me, and act like me, the world would be a better place to live. There would be no doubt in my heart that Allah has blessed us to do the right thing. Some people can sing, some can dance, but the new Black Panther Party program, from what I just seen Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz do in Atlanta, to bring people together under a format, and these people submit wholeheartedly to support the new Black Panther Party, you can't go wrong. You might shoot late, but you'll shoot straight. When I was in school, I told everybody I wanted to pack a gun and a knife because I wanted to cut around the corners and shoot down the hall. And now this is becoming a reality for me. It's either the bullet or the ballot. So whatever it is that we have to do, you got to be serious. You have to be gung-ho. They call me Mr. Macho Man because I'm not going to bow down to no goddamn body. The white man and no other man. And I fear nobody but God. Attorney Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz addresses these issues on a daily basis. The new Black Panther Party is the only way. It's the only way. Because nobody else are making moves and shaking the world up as we're doing. With world-renowned, when I was in Tokyo, Japan, I didn't go to the tourist section. I rolled up into the middle of the city, and I got with a brother, and we went everywhere. And the people love us, and they want to see structure. They want to see leadership. We are the only backbone of the human rights movement that's actually existing in this day and time. Black power.
Black power, black power. My dear brother Supreme, we got about 7 minutes left. If you want to have any closing remarks, comments here that you want to say to your people and say to your soldiers that are listening, now's the time. Black power.
Okay, black power. Brothers and sisters of the new Black Panther Party, I'm your supreme captain. I love you. I care about you. And I believe in you. I can't be your supreme captain if you don't want me. I can't be your supreme captain if you don't need me. And I can't be your supreme captain without the new Black Panther Party supporting our leader, our teacher, our guide, my personal friend, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We must stand with him, stand behind him, stand upon the format that our brother is doing. We must believe that Allah is God. We must stay constantly in prayer. And we must look at Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz. We must listen to Malik Zulu Shabazz. And we must do what he say do. If we do this, we'll be the winners, alive or dead. But we must take this in totalitarian and with great diplomatic structure. New Black Panther Party is a paramilitary organization, and we will be ran like this. So ifs, ands, and buts about it. When you see me coming, I'm coming as the man of God. I'm coming to stand upon the reputation of attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. my brother gives me order, I will do my work. And at no means will I hesitate by any means necessary. I need everybody to support the new Black Panther Party. If you can't support it with your words, your actions, your character, your conduct, then there are monies. There are that. You know, make these things available to us to do the work of God. Brother, there's nobody going to do our work like we do. We're wholehearted committed to it. We're in it to win it. And remember, we're like babies, kids. We don't die, we multiply. Black power.
That's what I'm talking about. My dear brother, Supreme Captain, we appreciate you, my brother. We appreciate you for everything that you said tonight, that you shared with us, all the experience, the walks down memory lane, and everything that you're going to bring to us in the future. I just want to say, on behalf of the National Chairman, Dr. Tony Malik Zulu-Shabazz, the National Central Committee, and every member of the new Black Panther Party, my brother, we love you and appreciate you, black man.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa barakatuh. And I'd like to throw out a shout to my brother, Imam Akbar Bilal, a brother who followed the legacy of over 1,400 years ago, a slave who was free to become one of the greatest generals of all time. Bilal, the first Muezzin in Islam to call the Adhan. I want everybody to be more aware of his brother. He's very spiritual. He's like you, Brother Sean Kwali. He's doing the work of God. As long as we all keep praying together, our family to pray together, stay together. I leave everybody with the way I came with the Asiatic greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh, wa barakatuh.
Black power. Wa alaikum salam, my brother, black power to you. And there you have it, family. That is the Supreme Captain, that brother that you just heard, that you just listened to. That is the Supreme Captain of the new Black Panther Party. And I just want to say that if you like what you heard, I mean, there's of course more where that came from. That brother is literally a walking reference book and really a walking guide to black power and black liberation struggle. We just don't have enough time to give it all to you. But if you like what you heard and you appreciate what you heard, then organize with us. Build up a black power movement in your city. Build up a local organizing committee in your city, right where you are. Whether you want to be a Vanguard member with the beret and the uniform and the black boots, and you want to be the top of the top, the cream of the crop, or whether you want to be general membership. You may not want to wear the uniform, but you just may want to rock a button. You just support the program. You just know that black people are in trouble and we need help. Then you email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. That's nbpphq@yahoo.com. Give us your name, give us your city, and a way to contact you, and we'll get right back with you. Or you can text only. You can text only to 502-299-8530. Again, text only to 502-299-8530. And a representative will get right back with you in building your movement. We thank you, my dear family, and love you so, so much. And we ask that you keep up with us in 2011. We want to say Happy New Year to everybody that's listening in terms of the white man's calendar. And as our dear Brother Supreme Captain say, in 2011, it ain't going to get no different. We come to give the white man hell from the cradle to the grave. It's freedom or death for our people. It ain't no turning back. We are straight ahead, like Matulu said. We love you, my dear family. We leave you as we came, always with peace and prosperity, but we leave you with the mighty greeting of black power.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, Miss that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace